is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Hidden Prophecies in the Book of Esther. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Johnny Ray Watson with The King is Coming, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Traffic in the streets, all the builders to the sight. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewife, cease your labor. In the courtrooms, no more debate. Work on earth has now suspended as a king comes through the gate. Happy faces line the hallways. Those lives have been redeemed. Broken homes he has mended. Those imprisoned he set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, and all aglow. Those that crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble, and I can see the marching throne and the flurry of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grand stand now in place. Oh, heaven's choir has now assembled as they sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King is coming. Oh, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, praise
angered the king. Queen wasn't doing what he said. And listen, you're supposed to do what the king says. And then the men turned to the king, to King Ahasuerus, and said, "Why, we sure hope this doesn't get out, Your Highness. If the word gets around the kingdom that the women, the wives, don't have to do what their men tell them to do, this could start a real rebellion. In other words, we could have women's liberation movement right here in Persia. If the women don't have to do what their men tell them to do, why, King, you better do something about this." And you know, King Ahasuerus was very embarrassed. You know he was embarrassed. His queen refused to show up. She told him, basically, "Get lost. I'm not going to show off my body for you and your drunken friends." She wasn't going along with the king's filthy edicts. And he decided to make an example of Vashti. And so he ousted her. He took away her crown. And it was decided there would be a beauty contest. Now, I know maybe brains were involved too in one way or another, but he wanted only virgins, which tells you a little bit, brought to Shushan, to the royal palace, and he would try them out one at a time, these virgins, and he would decide then who would become the new queen. And obviously he only wanted a woman who was as beautiful or more beautiful than Vashti, who was willing to show it off at his drunken parties. Well, now, there was a woman in the kingdom named Esther. She had a sly and shadowy cousin named Mordecai. And Mordecai very cunningly advised and guided her. Now, Mordecai happened to be Esther's, whose real name, by the way, was Hadassah. He happened to be her cousin. And yet we're told in the Bible that she lived with him. This has led some scholars to say that she was his consort, but maybe not, because of the virginal aspect. Now, what you have to understand, whereas Esther is a name of the great goddess of Babylon, the name Mordecai stands for the great god, the sun god, or fire god, Marduk. M-A-R-D-U-K. And the name Mordecai means, literally, "I am Marduk." I am Marduk. Marduk was the great god of the Persians, who was worshipped as Mars, the sixth planet from the sun, the god of war, the god of ritual sacrifice and fire. He was also known as Merodach. So here we have Esther, the star goddess, and her consort, or her man, Mordecai. I am Marduk. This is a symbol, my dear friends, of the male and female god and goddess of ancient Babylon. Now, in the biblical story, which is truthful and can be counted on 100%, the Jews who live in Persia are threatened by a Gentile named Haman. Haman. That name comes from the great god of the Egyptians, Amon. Haman happened to be the grand vizier or governor for the king. He was the number two man in the whole kingdom. And everyone bowed to him and gave him great reverence, even when he walked by. For on his apparel, evidently, according to the Jewish Talmud, there was a symbol of his holiness as the grand vizier. Haman, it appeared, was concerned. He noticed something about the Jews throughout the kingdom. They were haughty, and they refused to fit in with the country's culture and were disobedient to the king and to the law. This probably goes along with the Apostle Paul, who said of the Jews in his day, they were contrary to all men. They're just cranky and don't want to do what the rest of the world does. They want to do what they do because they think they're superior. And Haman saw them as arrogant, racist, and haters of the Persians and of all other peoples. And Haman didn't like that. Now, Haman was especially angered because of Mordecai. Esther had been chosen to be this beautiful virgin who would come to the palace, and on her night with the king, she wowed him so much that the king made her his new queen. Of all of the great number of women he had tried out through her sexual favors, through her beauty and her feminine charms, she made the grade. She became the queen. I think that goes right along with the harlot of Babylon, does it not? Now notice something. It was her cousin, the Bible says it was her cousin Mordecai, whom she lived with, because the Bible says she had neither father nor mother. Doesn't that go along with the great goddess of Babylon? It was said of the great goddess she had neither mother nor father. But she had Mordecai. And it was Mordecai that told Esther, "We'll run you in this contest. You're beautiful enough to win, and let's see if we can get you to become the queen." She must have been beautiful indeed. Now notice, she and her cousin Mordecai sought out the position. They wanted her to be the new queen, and she volunteered for the job. Keep that in mind, my dear friends. She wanted to be the new queen, and Mordecai wanted it because that would make him an important man, being her cousin. But he wasn't part of the court of King Ahasuerus. He was an outsider. He became, the Bible says, what we would call a hanger-on, a man who was just outside the gate. And he could not even talk to the queen, Esther. He would have to send messengers back and forth of the servants. Now, although Mordecai seemed to hang around and be around the palace all the time, he didn't give much homage or honor to the number two man in the kingdom, this Haman. When Haman walked by, everyone would bow down and reverence him as the grand vizier, but not Mordecai. You see, evidently, Mordecai would not do so, some people say, because you should not bow down and give reverence to a man. But all of the Jews gave reverence to Solomon. They gave reverence to David. And no doubt the Jews gave reverence to the king. In fact, if you read the book of Daniel, even Daniel at least gave reverence, not as a god to the king, but recognized him as the leader of the country. Why is it that Mordecai did not give reverence and honor to the grand vizier? Here is the reason why. It seems that Haman was an Amalekite, one of the mortal enemies of the Jews. And not only that, he was of the Agagite, A-G-A-G-I-T-E, tribe that Israel generations before had defeated. They had defeated the Agagites, and now Haman, a member of the Agagite tribe, was said to be the superior of the Jews, the superior of Mordecai. This Mordecai could not take. He refused to bow down and give reverence to the grand vizier Haman. This made Haman angry, and he went to the king. And he said, "O king, have you noticed that the Jews throughout your kingdom are hostile? They're untrustworthy. They hate everyone but their own race. And they should be put to death." And so the agreeable king, who was not very much of a nice man, quite obviously, said, "Okay." And he allowed Haman to cast lots, or pur, P-U-R, pur, like the purr of a cat. Now, in The Two Babylons, by Hyslop, the very famous classic textbook, Hyslop notes that the word pur, or bur, B-U-R, comes from the Babylonian, and it literally means to purify by sacrifice. It was not only to cast lots, but they were going to purify the kingdom by sacrificing the Jews to their God. and goddess. And they would cast lots simply to find an appropriate date. They believed in numerology, occult numerology. And so Haman cast a date, and a date was decided. A date was decided and put on the calendar, the day when all of the Jews in the kingdom would be slain. They would be made sacrifices. Now, Mordecai, however, being cunning and sly and devious as he was, found out about the plot of Haman to kill all the Jews. I'm sure it was being kept generally as a secret, but or else the Jews would have fled. But Mordecai found out about it, and he got Queen Esther to intervene. Esther put on perfume, made herself up beautifully, and she went to the king, and so taken with her was the king. Ask for anything in the kingdom she wants, and it will be given to her. Now, friends, I want you to remember the story in the New Testament of King Herod and Salome. You remember she went to King Herod and she danced? And King Herod was so impressed and so taken with her beauty and her charm that he told Salome that he would give her anything in the kingdom that she wanted. And, of course, she asked for the head of John the Baptist. Here we have a similar story, do we not? A similar parallel. Esther went to the king, and they had a party, and she told the king, here's what I want, when he offered her whatever she wanted, because he was so pleased with his great, beautiful queen. To make a long story short, here's what Esther told the king she wanted, and what the king gave her. She overturned Haman's edict to kill all the Jews. In its place, she got the dumbed-down king to go along with Esther's revengeful, bloodthirsty scheme. And what did that involve? Here's what Esther demanded of the king. And the king had promised her he would give her whatever she wanted. And he did. Here's what Esther demanded and got. First, the hanging on the gallows of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. Instead of Haman putting all the Jews to death, Haman was put to death. But that wasn't all. Esther also asked for the death of Haman's 10 sons. Now, we have no evidence in the Bible that Haman's 10 sons were guilty of anything. But nevertheless, Esther decided that's what she wants. She wants to put to death Haman's 10 innocent sons. But that wasn't enough either. She asked for something else. After they were killed on the gallows, she told the king, I want them taken down and then hung again. I want them to be an example, evidently, she was saying. And so she said, I want to hang them again. Hang them twice. Now, friends, there's some pretty bloodthirsty people in this world, but once you killed a person, that's about all you can do to them. But Esther didn't think so. She said, one death is not enough. I want to kill them all over again. And they took them, brought them to the capital city, and they hung them again. And then she told the king, and she got a license for the Jews. Remember that day? That day that all of the Jews in the kingdom, all 127 provinces, were to be killed on a given day, according to the lot that was cast by Haman. Well, now Esther turns it around and she says, on that day, I want all of the enemies of the Jews to be killed. And who were the enemies of the Jews? Well, you use your imagination. Anyone named by the Jews, anybody they didn't like, anybody that wouldn't give them property that they wanted. Just like the Palestinians are today fingered by the Jews for destruction, and they were, and all of their lands were taken, and their banks were taken, and their businesses were taken, and their hospitals were taken, and they were driven out, and many of them killed by the Jews in 1948. Now we see Esther asking for a license for the Jews to slaughter anyone whom they saw fit to murder anywhere in the kingdom. And through this edict, 75,000 men, women, and children were murdered, were slain. put to death simply because a Jew gave the word. Kill them. But that wasn't enough. She said, there are many right here at the palace that I'd like to see killed too. And the king took all those she named in the palace and took them out and killed them. And he said, well, I've killed all the servants, the hundreds that you wanted killed in the palace. Is there anybody else? She says, yes, I'm not finished. Now I've got a second list of people in the palace, and I want these people killed too. It's sort of like Joseph Stalin. He kept coming up with a list of people he wanted. Berea and the secret service of the communist Russian monster system to kill. But that's not all. The goods and properties of the dead victims were all seized and given to the Jews. They wanted the money. They wanted the property. And according to the Bible's book of Esther, many people in the kingdom then chose to convert to the Jews' religion. Why? Is it because they loved the Jewish religion so much? Is it because they could see that Queen Esther was truly favored by God and she had such power? No! The Bible says here, in Esther, they did it because they were fearful. So fearful, so full, gripped with fear were they of the Jews. They converted. This was not a true conversion. It was out of fright, out of fear. And then Esther did something else. She maneuvered things so that her wily cousin Mordecai would become the grand vizier in place of the dead Haman. And so, Mordecai and Esther ran things their way in the kingdom with the stupid and drunken King Ahasuerus being figuratively led around by the nose. Now, friends, today in Jewish synagogues and meeting houses throughout the world, on a given day each year, there is a festival, a high holy day called Purim, P-U-R-I-M. It is a day in which ritual sacrifice is worshipped and given reverence. Ritual sacrifice. It is a day of honor of Queen Esther's bloody accomplishments.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.